so this episode is just basically saying that you need to get rid of Steven, like getting the path of getting rid of Steven. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's the path of knowing the truth of who really Steven is and why you need to get rid of him. Thank you for watching and listening to your favorite podcast. This is the Maximo Filipino Show. I'm CB.
And I'm Waka.
Well, I want to say thank you again for joining in. If you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. Like this video right now. Comment saying I'm here watching and ready to roll. This is After Flicks. We do After Flicks is to, and that treble's high. To talk about and review some of the shows from your original subscribe shows, such as Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu, Amazon Prime. Today we're doing the continuation. Finally, we're like 2 weeks late of Moon Knight. Moon Knight is a Disney Plus original show. We're doing episode five of Moon Knight. A very interesting episode, to say the least. A lot of weird stuff going on in this episode.
Right.
We've seen about a glimpse of what it looks like in their afterlife, or according to Toweret or something like that. The hippo.
Toweret.
That it was just a afterlife or a path to afterlife. It's one of them.
And afterlife. Yep.
Yeah. If you haven't seen the show, by now it's been 2 weeks. If you haven't seen the show, then doing? I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But if you care about spoilers, then probably you shouldn't watch this. Just skip this.
Agreed.
We'll be here. We'll be waiting for you. Yeah. Go watch episode five, and then we can come back here. If you've seen it, or if you don't care about the spoilers, come and join us. We will talk about this. All right. So initial thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I want to say this. As many times I've seen this episode, you know, initially and reviewing, I have appreciate Oscar Isaac's skills of acting. He's amazing. I really don't admire people, but this guy, he's something else. His acting as someone from Europe, from Great Britain, and his U.S. accent, his acting, spot on. And his crazy acting, like as if he's from a psycho ward. I admire it. He's awesome. Good job, you, Oscar Isaac.
You
good
sound like you're falling asleep.
I'm not. I'm not.
Are you drunk?
No. I'm just waiting for you to respond with me. But I guess you're just leaving the spotlight to me.
Yeah, because you're like...
Okay, no, I really admire it. I got the energy. I got the flow. I'm got going.
Okay.
Don't judge me.
All right. Awesome. Well, yeah, this, like I said earlier, this is a very weird and interesting episode. We've seen a lot of weird stuff in the MCU. Doctor Strange, of course, played a big role in that. But putting this in, so we didn't see a lot of weird stuff going on, even in Norse mythology when Thor was introduced, and then Black Panther was introduced. It was like, okay, so I get this. There's some mystery stuff, but now we're diving into Egyptian mythology and how they look like and what's gonna appear. Mm-hmm. Instead of giving us the kingdoms, you know, like in Thor and Black Panther, they gave us like the kingdoms, and this is what's gonna look like, this is what Asgardians look like, or Wakanda, you know, this is what they look like. So they didn't give us like this is what the Egyptian people look like. Nope, we're gonna go ritual, we're gonna go more spiritual side of this belief and what they believe. And we're gonna talk about later some of the connections that they did for more like a, it's not really a nod, but more of a, like, this is the connection and how everything is just connected. Let's start with the beginning. So we started, the episode started with
Crying River. Crimea River.
No, you have the mom yelling, which we didn't know, you know, when you first watched the episode. If it's the first time you watch the episode, you saw a lady screaming, yep. like, ah, and like, whoa, who's that lady?
It's
and then
it just. Your fault.
And then it just went from the lady to the Tawaret or Tawaret. That the hippo with a
Tawaret,
blue nail polish. a hippo with a blue nail polish.
Yeah.
It's screaming with Steven and Mark.
Mm.
Right?
Yep. And it started off that, and then it somewhat transitioned from there to back to the office with Dr. Harold.
Yeah. So you went from there, and it's weird because when you saw Mark, he's like all beat up and
yeah.
and with the scars and the band-aid on his nose, and it's like, what just happened?
Yeah, I feel like that there's like this other person that is beating himself up or something, or like there's just scenes that they don't explain that we're just filling the blanks, filling in that he may have self-inflicted himself or something like that. Self-inflicting himself. That's very redundant. It just doesn't like fit in, but we can say that he's like there's a reality or a world, I guess, where he's actually in a psych ward where I think this is hypnotism, where they're in the client and with the therapist, whatever technique they used, you know how they will hypnotize them into to fall into their subconscious, their back memory, to waken up things that there was, you know, put in the bottle, you know, put a cap on that, and they finally open it and reveal things that you wish you never did.
Yeah, the way I felt about that episode or that scene, actually, I have no idea.
Me neither.
Whether it's a hypnotism or I don't know. This scene, if we're gonna talk about something that, what are you doing?
What? I'm looking up and thinking.
If you're listening to the podcast,
I'm sorry.
No, I was just weird out because I was looking at your screen. I'm like, what is he falling asleep?
I'm not. Let's continue.
If you're listening to the podcast, you should go to YouTube and watch this, or finish it in podcast and then go to YouTube and rewatch this. But yeah, so it's weird because I have no idea. So I'm a type of guy, when I watch a movie, I have to excite myself for what's going on. A lot of movies nowadays, because of the way the movie structures are and movie tropes and the way, you know, plot twists and things mm-hmm. like that, it's very predictable. It's super predictable. Yeah. So when it comes to this episode, I mean, I was expecting a lot more. I was expecting a lot more predictable things on what's going to happen with the character and the development of the show. But this episode, man, it's like none of the ones that I expected is happening. Like, if this episode, it just gave me a confusion. Like, but it's not like a boring confusion. It's like, I'm done. I can't figure this out. This is stupid. But it's more like, I want to know what's happening. Like, it, you know, you went from screaming to right? him in a psych ward with Dr. Harrow. Well, they were still in psych ward, but him with Dr. Harrow talking to him with the beat up face and didn't give us any idea what just happened. Like, who is that? And what is happening?
Right.
To like giving Dr. Harrow, giving him like instructions and telling him what's happening. And then he's like, so the first watch, right? The first watch, of course, you have no idea. The rewatch, now that you know what just happened in the time, mm-hmm. in the whole show, when Dr. Harrow said you talked about a boy, when he said about a boy, that's when Mark started freaking out. So he grabbed the crystal pyramid, and I don't know what he was about to do. It's either he's about to stab himself or stab Dr. Harrow. And Dr. Harrow called the two nurses and tried to stop him.
He pressed the button and called back up. Hey, to put him down, and they definitely put him down. And we assume that they drugged him, and that drug would have caught him or sent him back into this other reality, which we're not sure which one's the real world now or a real timeline. Going back to meet up with the hippo, and
but my thing is, I don't even think it's that is the serum. I think it's a sedation, so he will go fall back asleep.
Yes, that's what I meant. You know, it is a sedated type of chemical. I don't know. What I meant is it put him down, not to a serum, the whatever you thought it was.
No, because you said it's a serum that sent him back to whatever place he was in.
Wrong term then. It's the drug. I said a drug. A drug that put him back to this other reality where he's in this imagination world where it's supposedly an afterlife, and he images it as a psych ward. I find that crazy. I mean, you would think about flowers or some kind of beautiful landmark, but a psych ward, that's... I'm with the hippo. That's the first one.
Yeah, so when he got sedated or whatever that serum, whatever that liquid they gave him...
Yeah, it was sedation.
I don't know, because I actually have no idea what it is.
Because he said it in another scene. It's like, we don't sedate involuntarily. We don't sedate any of our patients involuntarily. So you're right. It was they sedated him.
Yeah, but he... That totally contradicts the whole thing, because if he said we don't sedate our patients involuntarily, that was involuntary sedation.
Unless necessary.
Right, but he's like, because he asked him, did you sedate me? And he said, you watch too many movies.
Right.
We don't sedate people. Yeah, we don't sedate people. So he's basically telling him, no, we didn't sedate you.
No, what I think, and if he's in California, I think he's just, is a play of words. Like, we don't. You know, we don't force anyone to be sedated unless it's necessary. But he's just passive about it. Just, it's a play on words. Like, they actually did sedated him, but he's saying that, no, we didn't sedate you.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. That this is why it's so confusing, because when he came back, he's not beat up anymore.
Yeah, that's what was trippy.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on. My only thought is... The real world is him with the hippo, with Steven and Mark. That is the real world. Him going back and forth with Dr. Harrow, I don't know how that goes, but it's a different timeline. I don't know how it works or if they're going to explain it in the last episode, but all I know is the real world is with him and Steven and the hippo.
I'll just tell you this much. If you have not watched Inception, none of this will make sense. Because I kind of got an Inception vibe in this episode.
Yes and no. I don't know. I don't know.
Because, you know, you're going different realities. I mean, I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but I'm just saying, just give me that kind of vibe. Jumping from world to world. Something like that. But in this case, it's just two different realities or two different worlds. See, how I'm understanding it is that this is how it's playing out. He's in the office, he's being hypnotized, and the hypnotism is bringing him into his little subconscious to deal with his inner demons. And now the camera is viewing how he's dealing with his inner demon, or his memories of past lives, and how he's working with Steven. And he's imagining in the sense of Egyptian mythology, and he's working through it. That's how I'm seeing this episode. Otherwise, in truth, I have no clue either.
The part of they're hypnotizing him to get through it, it still doesn't make any sense why when they first sedated him or whatever that is, he like aware of what's happening. It's like, oh, I'm not crazy. I'm just dead. This is it's like, what, you know, he touched his neck. It's right. Like, no, like none of the things make any sense. So if he's either sedated, hypnotized, dead, none of them explain anything that just happened in the whole show.
Correct.
Like him going back and forth with Harrow. The only thing that makes sense is when Steven showed up and talking to Dr. Harrow. That's the only part that makes sense in the reality of, like, oh, so you went from, you transformed to Steven, now you're back to Dr. Harrow. Like, that's the only part that makes sense. But
yeah, I agree.
None of the ones were from the start, from the beginning, with a beat up face, sedated, and then yelling back to Dr. Harrow, and then doesn't make any sense.
It didn't. You're right. I agree with you there. The only time that made sense, because the timeline is the same, is where Mark switches off with Steven. I just felt like the first time around, this is the timeline that happened, being beaten up or self-inflicted or whatever you did or to get hurt, and then, you know, drugged down.
I don't even think it's self-inflicted.
I don't think so either. I think he got into a fight.
Yeah.
And I'm probably with one of those dudes that was there. And they drugged him again back into his fantasy world. And one part where he wakes up from his fantasy world back into a different time where he looks just okay. And that's where we're struggling to figure out, like, how can we fit this? Because it doesn't make sense. But anyway, so he meets up with the hippo. Hippo introduces herself, and she is Tawedet. That's her name, Tawedet. She is the goddess of women and children, or birth, or something like that. But she's also the goddess who leads them to the afterlife, into their next place called the Duat. The Chuat. The Duat. The Duat. Chuat.
The Duat. The Duat is where they're at right now.
Yeah, they're currently in the Duat. And she's leading them to their next destination.
Which is it depends. Where they, if the balance it with the feather of truth, I'm sorry, if it didn't balance, then they're gonna stay with the Duat. The Duat is gonna claim them.
Yep.
Or they're gonna go to
the Field of Reeds.
Yep, the Field of Reeds.
Yeah, it's supposedly some paradise. But a lot of things happen in between from point A to point B. So they're flowing. Tawedet pulled out the hearts, put it on the ballot, or the, you know, the balancer, and apparently it's just not balancing. It's going back and forth, and she instructs them to go back to their memory. And how did Mark feel about that?
So the whole balance scene reminds me a lot of
Yeah, no, go ahead. I'm with you. I'm just reacting. I'm trying to keep my mouth shut. Don't worry. I know. Just go.
It reminds me a lot of Harrow when he first interacted with Steven, and he tried to judge him. So, you know what Harrow does, it tried to judge him, and then the balance, not balance, same, of course.
I agree. What was the name of his goddess that he's trying to release?
Amit.
Yeah, it reminds me of that. And yeah, so that, and they're going through the memories. Tawedet tells them, hey,
hold
look.
On, I'm not done.
Oh yeah, okay, go ahead. I thought you were done. My bad. Go back. Tilt to the balance.
Yeah, so it reminds me a lot of that balancing. And it's unbalanced because both of their realities. So this whole episode explained how you need to be real to yourself and be who you really are to balance the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So it's perfectly imbalance because you included Steven in there.
Yeah.
And this is jumping back and forth, but right. Once you jump in towards the end, when the Duat claims Steven, the whole thing is balanced.
Yeah.
So it will make sense on how every single thing that Mark did or would have done will be justified. All the killing that he did was justified. So if he would have faced Harrow in there without the Steven, that balance, that whatever Amit or what he's doing, it will be balanced. So that's like a, which is so weird because the balance that that Harold was using, it has the face of a crocodile, which is, you know, Ammit. But with this one, it's not. It's completely not. It's like the whole Egyptian thing. I don't even know what it looks like. It's probably like Osiris. I don't know. But yeah, so that whole thing is like a big nod of what happened in the first episode with Harrow. So this episode is just basically saying that you need to get rid of Steven. Like getting the path of getting rid of Steven. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's the path of knowing the truth of who really Steven is and why you need to get rid of him.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the whole episode, or the theme of the episode, I guess.
Or maybe try to bring his personalities into one, because Steven and Mark are one of the same, and Steven is really smart, and if Steven dies out, all that smartness dies with him.
Yeah.
So I agree with him getting rid of Steven, but this probably just makes sense to me. In essence, he's uniting his personality to bring out that Steven is a fake, that you are actually you. This, your smartness is you, your play of accents, that's your, you know, you have that, that's a talent, that's amazing, that's you. This is all you. Everything about Steven is just you. You just need to realize that you are him and he is you, and all the memories that you've gone through are all the same, so forth. Yeah,
but I also think that, although I believe that whatever Steven is not Mark, I actually believe it the other way around, that because all the knowledge that Steven had, Mark doesn't know anything about it. Mm. Hence why the hippo said, oh, so you're the smart one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he didn't know anything about the Egyptian mythology. Only Steven does.
Mm. Agreed.
So when he's going to a different face or suit of his Steven part, mm-hmm. he has no idea who he is.
Yeah. I just wonder, if Steven is gone, does all that brilliance of him goes away?
I think so.
That sucks.
Like he made a complete different persona of him, of himself.
Now,
through Steven.
Do you think, just to elaborate on this, do you think that if, because it's Steven, the Steven, Mark is Mark, if Steven was the one to want control, do you think Mark will have been gone?
No, because I don't think Steven exists.
I mean, right, as we saw through the history of Mark's life, Steven is really not real. However, his personality, his persona is like as if it's him, like it's real. Now, if we go to the idea of hypnotism to win, who's, you know, which personality wins, do you think if Steven was the one to win and Mark gone, you know, disappeared, would Steven...
That's my point. I don't think Mark will disappear.
Because
if you notice on the boat, the dead people only grab Mark, never Steven. They never tried to grab Steven. Mm-hmm. Even when Steven is trying to fight them, the creatures, the creepy sand creatures, were just only trying to grab Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, because they're like trying to get the real person, not the other being.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw that. I just thought that he was just close by and it's convenient to grab. Let's just grab Mark. But yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, and that's why when Mark woke up in the ward, Steven was in the tomb.
Mm.
You know, like he's the only thing that's alive sitting in the wheelchair and talking to Harold. But Steven persona was in the tomb.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, where do we left off?
All right, so from there, we went to... Tawarat said, you need to balance yourself.
Right.
And she said, go back in there and look, because this whole place is it's your memories. Everything that's in here is your memory, mm-hmm. or what happened to you. And they start looking at their memories, right? They start looking at memories of what was the first memory?
The first memory was when he was fighting in the bathroom as the mummy.
That's right. That's right. That's Moon Knight. And then the second one was with Khonshu changing the whole sky.
The stars. Yep.
Which I definitely called that it's not time that he's changing. Yeah. He's just the appearance of the sky. Correct. That's it. None of the time is changed.
Yeah, that's what we agreed on the last pod, that it's a screen sky, whatever you call it.
Yeah. So from there you went and you saw the next memory of him, apparently it's Mark standing on the street right next to a car,
right,
either crying or just mad. You can't see it from that angle until you find out what really happened, because they're just gonna show it. They showed it in eventually in the right. You know, in the end of the towards the end of the show, that he's mad or he's angry. And then that got Steven confused. Like, I don't remember this memory, but you do. He told Mark. And I'm so, big part of me is so happy that we got to know who really Steven is. Like, we have an idea who really, not an idea. Like, we definitely found out who he really is.
Mm-hmm.
And it started from there. It started from seeing that. And of course, Mark is trying to stop him. What triggered that whole thing?
It was when Steven, before they went further details about that memory on the sidewalk, Steven heard a voice of a kid crying out for help.
Oh yeah, so they end up in this room filled with zombie looking creatures sitting down, and Mark remembered every single one of them.
Yep.
He remembered them not by names, of course, but he remembered them by location where he were allegedly killed all of them.
And they were all supposedly, in Khonshu's point of view, the most evil of evil, the most criminal, the worst criminal, the worst people to deal with that deserve death. Mm-hmm. And that's when he said, that's what it means to watch over the travelers of the night, is to deal with these crooks.
Except, of course, a little boy who just showed up there, because he wasn't part of the whole group that was sitting down in that cafeteria looking place. And Steven said, oh, there's a boy, and he started chasing him. Of course, Mark recognized him because he knew who that boy was. Yeah. Entered the room, saw a family, and he saw his mom first. They were in the backyard, and you see, for the first time, you see a kid named Roro, which apparently is his brother.
Yep.
And they end up going to cave. When they went in the cave, okay. So I don't know what show are we watching, but I feel like it might have been a different show then, because I feel like I saw a scene where. Wait, what movie are we watching then? I saw a scene where the dad left the kid and the mom, and they drove away. As if the dad didn't fight for him.
Drove away?
Oh, it was 911.
You sure it was 911?
Yeah, it was 911, because it's when he was talking to his dad, and his dad was old. And it was that scene when he left, and then his dad had a different family.
Oh
yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It was during a holiday.
Huh?
It was a holiday.
When he left?
No. Maybe it's a different scene, because during a Christmas season in the 901 episode, where he was taking pictures to see Santa, and then all of a sudden he sees his other family appear out of nowhere. In 901, between, and they were trying to fight, whose man is whose. You remember? Oh, anyway, I don't know if that's that very same scene.
No. It was just the recent scene from 911 Lone Star.
Oh, Lone Star. I'm thinking about 911.
Oh no, yeah. Anyway, so it was a different show.
Sorry.
So we saw that whole scene with the dad and his brother going in the cave. Steven stepped on a dead bird that looks like Khonshu.
Correct. Now, I don't know where that fits in.
I have no idea how that works. Like,
I'm trying to figure out if this was part of his memory and this stuck out to his mind for the longest, which is why he thought of Khonshu.
No, I feel like he can be like a connecting thing to Khonshu. Like, what if Khonshu killed his brother to fulfill the prophecy that he's going to be Khonshu's avatar?
Bro, that's quite a far-fetched idea. Like, but I can see Khonshu doing it.
Yeah, I can see doing it too, because he's like, when he saw Mark, it's like, I can see you be my avatar, you know, and so I'm going to plant all of these things so you can become my avatar.
But that's crazy though. So you're saying Khonshu knew him since he was a kid and just decided to reveal himself?
Yeah, most likely that would happen, because it would explain why he stepped on a bird and like a dead, you know, skullified.
I want to say that's just a coincidence, but I would love to believe that I theory.
You have to remember. It's a show. There's a director. No. Not. It's a dream. It's a show with the director and the writer. None of these is coincidental.
Okay.
All of them are planned. Every single one of them are planned. Maybe some of them are an accident where you see some mistakes in the shows, but if it's something as big as that, that it's emphasizing stepping on a bird and that bird just so happened to look like Khonshu, that's got to be intentional. it's got to be intentional.
Maybe.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just an idea. I'm not saying that is the case. It's an idea that Khonshu planned that whole thing and deliberately killed his brother. Mm. So he knew that someday Mark is gonna be his avatar. You know, of course Steven tried to save him. There's no way he could save him. I don't even know how he died. I don't know, like, explain to me how Mark survived,
right?
If Khonshu didn't intervene or someone else intervened, how did he survive?
Yeah, I don't get how Roro and Mark in that cave. I mean, how did Roro die? Is it because he was chubby, fat, couldn't fit in a hole, got stuck underwater? That's what I thought. Because, you know, you see little feet and they're just there.
Yeah.
I got drowned because it was a rainy day. So he steps on the little skull, walks into a cave, and then it was raining, apparently. And there's no outlet or there's no way for the water to go out unless the exit is very small and the water builds up really fast, but the water was building quick. And Mark's brother died in that cave. And Steven doesn't remember none of it. And then they walk into the wake of...
Yeah, Steven doesn't remember any of it because he wasn't invented at that time.
Correct.
He heard Dr. Grant while they're walking towards towards the cave, and that's when it's like, wait, hold up, that's my last name. What is happening in here? And that's gave him an idea what's going on. So he started following them. Mark trying to get into that memory where Steven was, but he couldn't because all of the doors are locked, until he ended up in this one memory of his brother's funeral, and that triggered a lot of that's when everything started to happen. That's when he met Steven staring at his mom grieving, and saw Mark coming down, little Mark, the younger Mark, coming downstairs, and his mom, you know, started yelling at him, "It's all your fault, your brother died because of you, or drowned because of you. No, you're supposed to take care of him."
This scene though reminds me of Doctor Strange moment. The reason why I say that, because when they go through the stairs, he goes up, it's the same floor, but it's just a different timeline. Okay. You know, because so here's the wake.
Yeah.
The mom is yelling, "It's all your fault, blah, blah, blah." Then Steven runs away from Mark to go up the stairs. But as he goes up the stairs, same room, but a different scene of a memory of his birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go back a little bit with the there's one that I just remembered. So when they were both talking to Toweret and he said this is a pathway to paradise, right, the pathway to paradise. Howard mm-hmm. corrected him and said, no, A or and something, pathway to paradise, right? And then he said, she said, have you, especially like ancestral plane, she said, mm-hmm. and that one is beautiful. Do you know what that is?
Ancestral plane?
Uh-huh.
I've heard of the term, but no.
Yeah, it was, it's Black Panther. So when they died, you know that one with the tree with a bunch of panthers in it, that was ancestral plane.
Oh, that was nice. Yeah, nice catch.
Yeah, that was ancestral plane. Because I was like, now. That sounded so familiar. So I had to Google it. It's like, oh, that's ancestral plane.
That makes sense.
It's like another pathway to paradise, you know, when you go to paradise. But so, in the Black Panther. And this is why all of the MCU's connected because of that, you know.
Okay, so if ancestral plane is another pathway. Vision of an afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that when they ate the plant, they technically died for a moment to wake up again alive to get the Black Panther power?
I don't want to say died. I want to say they just had a vision of going there. Like, they didn't technically die.
Okay, well, they buried them.
Well, yeah, they buried them. But I feel like the flowers has an ability to give you a vision to go to the ancestral plane. Because they don't give you an option to stay. Mm. And like when T'Challa died, they gave him an option to stay. You can stay or you can leave. You know?
Ooh.
So okay. So I don't think you died. But anyway, so nice catch. We went up and have the whole heartbreaking birthday party. Two birthday parties, actually. Right. Two birthday parties with the mom drinking and things like that and telling him, you know, I've known since he was born that you're jealous of him. And then he started running back again.
In this scene, this is the only time when we figure out their names. So the first scene, the birthday scene, the husband is calling out the wife or the mom, which her name is Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed it. I was like, wait, why are they showing the name? And if you turn on the oh, that's why it's making noise. If you turn on the subtitles, you also see the name of the husband. You never hear the husband's name mm-hmm. called out. But yeah. Apparently his name is Elias or Elias. I don't know how you pronounce mm-hmm. it. E-L-I-A-S.
Yeah.
Or unless it's just another form of calling it Alias.
Yeah.
So Wendy and Alias. Or Alias. Elias. Elias. Depending how you pronounce it. That's the name of the parents.
Yeah. And then he was about to open the door. He was about to open the door. And he said, you're not ready to see that. Or something.
You're not supposed to see that.
Or you're not supposed to see that. And I think from there, it jumped back to Harrow.
Okay, so what happened was he pulls him and they go back into the hallway. Yeah, it was to the hallway. No, wait. No, they pulled them. They go outside. Outside on the street, where you see a teen version of.
Oh yeah, yeah, a teen version of him. He got him in there, and then, because it's like you're supposed to fix him. That's what he said. So he's right. Like an older version of him talking to his dad. It's like you're not supposed to see that. And he said, "Well, you're supposed to fix him," and things like that. Then I think
fix the mom.
Yeah, yeah, you fix the mom, and then. I think from there it jumped to the desert.
Yep, that's what happened.
Yeah, it jumped to the desert where you see Mark's about to die.
Yep.
Which I definitely called what happened. He was okay. About to die. Okay. And then, and I know we talked about that in the last part. He's about to die, and then Khonshu saved them.
Yeah, and that's the scene where you also see Layla's dad.
Mm-hmm. And that scene, if you think about it, it gave you... it gives a good defense of my theory that Khonshu, what is the word? Predestined, not predestined, but he did something. since the beginning, you know, when he was young, orchestrated, there you go, orchestrated every single thing for him to become Khonshu's avatar. Because why would they show that scene? It doesn't make any sense. If you think about it from what they've been seeing, you know, not through the door, but what they've been seeing from you know, his childhood and how he become who he is, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. none of them it make any sense. Why would they show this part?
Right.
Yeah.
I see. From director, writer's point of view, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Makes sense. So, see, that's him. I'm trying to go with the flow of the story. He tries to figure things out.
I was thinking, it's like, why would they show that? Like, none of them is connected to any of that. Like, the rest of the first ones are connected to his childhood, to who he is and what happened to him and his brother and things like that. And then you jump to the desert, which, by the way, we already knew what happened. Then why show that? Like, we already knew that he selected him before he's not, like, I don't know.
I just thought this was like a backstory to fill in the, you know, the blanks of what started this whole
Moon Knight. Yeah, but it wasn't like they never showed it again. They just showed that part and then went back to, you know, like after that, they went back to the hallway and then he said, we don't have to see that. I can just explain it to you. It's okay. We don't, you know, we don't have to see it. And then he started, Steven said, no, we're going to see it. So he started hitting himself. No, no, no. And then he woke up, he like came to his senses and woke up talking to Harrow again.
Yeah. Well, before that, which didn't make sense. Okay, so they were in the scene of where he meets up with Moon Knight or meets up with Khonshu, and then after all that, Steven hears a noise, which there were monkeys. Where did the monkeys come from? And where did they go?
The monkeys is the... I think the monkeys is the monkeys in the boat.
Okay. Maybe that's supposed to be Noah's Ark?
No, 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 no. I don't know what the monkeys are. I don't know why they're related. It's probably something to do with the... It's probably something to do with the Egyptian mythology. I don't know.
True.
But there's monkeys in there.
The monkeys made some noise, and Steven heard it. He's like, is that? And then the moment they heard it, they stepped out from the scene of the desert, meeting Khonshu, meeting the hippo, Tawedit. And in that whole scene, what was going on, and I think... Amit may have been revived because you see falling souls, not stars, falling souls hitting the ground. And Tawedit says, oh, this is terrible. People are dying before they even committed a crime. They're just dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely Amit.
Yeah. So we're assuming that Amit has been revived, that Harrow has succeeded in reviving her or, you know, resurrecting her. Or him. I don't even know if this god is a girl or boy. And then they convince the hippo, look, this is why we need to go back and revive Khonshu, whom they try to run away from for quite a while. And with some convincing, she says, okay, you guys got to go back, figure out what's going on with your memories or why the balance is not balanced. And... you know, let's make it work. And then, yeah, then goes back to the hallway, hitting himself because he doesn't want to remember a memory. And then we're back into Dr. Harrow's office. What was going on in that office?
So they went back in the office. He's not beat up anymore. He just looks fine. And that's when he asked, like, did you sedate me? And he said, you've been watching a lot of movies. I did not sedate you. You know, we don't sedate, I almost said clients. We don't sedate patients involuntarily unless, you know, necessary. So from there, Harrow convinced him to tell Steven who he really is or what exactly happened.
Right.
And the confusing part is there's nothing. There's no visible illustration or visible evidence that he sedated him again, or he just, you know, like when they show the presence of when they transform into a different personality, mm-hmm. like their eyes go the back of their head, but nothing. It's just snap, not even a snap. It just all of a sudden changed to scene where Mark is standing in front of the little Mark and Steven is behind him. That, like, there's no, so it's confusing which one is real, which one is not, because it just happened, you know? Like, in comparison to the first part where they sedated him or they did something to him.
It's as if that Mark is accepting both reality, because he's not fighting back. He's going with it this time. Like, he's actually listening to Dr. Harrow and, you know, whatever he's saying. Like, at first, he was encouraging him, hey, look, man, I'm so proud of you. We're seeing progress. And then he asked the question, did you create Steven to hide, or did you create Mark as a revenge for what your mom did to you? You know, blah, blah, blah. And then Dr. Harrow tells him, hey, look, you want to try to share this with Steven? You know, tell him the truth. And then again, Mark, this time he didn't fight back. He decided to take his words in, and then, like, where he was saying, the scene flipped. Now we're in his room, little Mark's room, and this is where Steven was born and discovered that he was a fake and he was based off a character on a poster. And that poster is from the opening scene of the first Psych Ward episode. Where the opening episode was, or the, was it the ending? The ending of where he got shot. Well, either where he got shot and he opens into a psych ward, but it was the opening episode scene of the movie of Dr. Grant. Stephen Grant. Do you remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was that poster. It was from a movie. And that's when Steven remembers, because I don't know if you noticed, when Steven appeared from when Mark switched off trying to hide from his mom beating him up, that's when Steven remembers some of the lines. I don't know if you noticed when Steven said, oh, look at this mess. We need to clean this up before mom gets mad or something like that. But older Steve said the same thing, or older Steven said the same time with younger Steven. That's where I believe Steven had a memory of that moment. And then Mark pulls him out and tells him, you're not supposed to see that. You were not supposed to see that. And what happens after that? Or do you have anything to add on to that particular episode?
No.
So Steven beats him up, or gives a nerdy hit, and gets hurt after. You know, after a few times that Mark beats up people, I would assume that Steven got used to beating people. I mean, the same sensation, same thing, but then he pretends that he's hurt.
No, I don't think so, because Steven won't have any recollection of what happened.
I would assume he was just, oh, I'm miraculously strong. I didn't know I can hit you that hard, or something like that.
Yeah, but if you notice, when he changed to Steven, to a Moon Knight, he had, like, he doesn't know how to fight.
True. I mean, you're right. I mean, he also mentioned that, okay, muscle memory, right? It's somewhere. You or me, I am you. I must have some kind of skill back there somewhere.
No, I don't think so. I think the way they split up to two different personalities, too perfect.
Yeah.
That none of the...
Way too perfect.
None of the skills, even knowledge of Steven, is leaking towards Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just perfect split into two different characters.
Oh, I also like to add how they made these two characters very distinct by hairstyle and shirt color. Like, you'll see U.S. Mark with some straight hair, where British Steven has some fuzzy look. I thought that was pretty creative. And but if you can't figure that out, well, they did the shirt for you. One is white, one is blue. Now you know the difference. Well, yeah, I thought that was just creative.
Mm-hmm.
So he hits Mark, and then Mark tells him the truth, saying that, do you want to believe this truth where mom beat at me, hated me, blah, blah, blah. And then Steven was like, that's not true. You're just trying to make me mad. until Mark said something that triggered him. Where you think mom is alive, and that's when Steven flipped. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Steven flipped. And then I thought when the word Shiva, when Mark used it, yeah, a couple of months ago, Dad told me about mom Shiva. I thought it was a disease, but I looked it up. It's just another word in Jewish term for wake.
Mm-hmm.
Or funeral. But yeah, but Stephen was at denial. He didn't want to believe it, didn't want to hear it. And then he said, let me out. And then this is where we connect the two scenes between Mark going out to wherever he is, to back into Dr. Harrow's office. Stephen takes over this time. And once he realized where he's at, splats water at Dr. Harrow. And then he said, I'm sorry. And then he realized what was going on. Dr. Harrow's like, Stephen, is this you? And then this is where Stephen tries to recollect. He said he remembers the room, but he doesn't remember everything. Dr. Harrow is saying things about, when you came here the first time around for us to help you, and then Stephen didn't realize he was the one who brought this together. He's the one who went to the psych ward for help. Or, I don't know if he really went for help, but he was the one who brought them to the psych ward. And then Dr. Harrow said something that also made Stephen flip again. When your mom passed, and then he was at denial again. Like, my mom didn't die. Oi. He starts out with, oi. Don't say that. Anyway, I don't know if it was a therapist trick. I don't know what was that about. Because when Dr. Harrow said, okay, you're right, your mom's not dead. He goes and, let's call your mom. And then Stephen was in shock. Was like, no, don't. We don't want to bother her. I didn't know what that meant. I mean, that's what I thought. With limited knowledge that I have, that this was some kind of therapy session or everything that was going on between then and to this scene was hypnotism. I mean, again, I don't know. I don't know how therapy works. At least this kind of therapy for crazy people. Not saying that you get crazy, just saying the word.
I think the mom... Of course, she doesn't exist because she's already dead in real life. I believe that the mom really is dead. I think what Steven was doing is, it's either, I don't think he's pretending that she's alive. I think he genuinely believed that the mom is still alive and that she's talking on the phone. So of course there's nobody on the other side of the phone that Harrow was using.
Right.
But if he answered or said something on the phone, he believed that someone answered. And the reason why I said that, because when they went back into the street scene and Mark was there crying, he started stomping on his yarmulke, right. and Steven showed up. When he picked up the phone and started talking to his mom, if you notice the phone, the phone screen, there's nothing in it. I mean, there's something in it, but it's not even close to a phone call. It's not a phone call kind of screen. It's just a normal phone screen, and he's talking and responding as if someone is talking to him. So I think it's all in Steven's brain, that whenever he answers the phone or talk to his mom, he thinks that someone's responding to him, or his mom is responding to him, but none of those exist.
Steven, I'm sorry. It was Alexa or Siri, whoever you were speaking to, but unfortunately, it wasn't your mom.
Yeah. So from there, it's weird because the way everything is just snapping back and forth from Harrow is not as it's not as hard anymore. It's like not as difficult as it was before, to make it seem like that is the real world. like Harrow was the real world.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm standing on the point that that's not the real world. The real world is still with Mark and Steven in the on the boat.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't make any sense how and what is that scene? Like, why are we there and who is that? I don't know.
Yeah, we're trying at first when it came around, I thought, you know, that when Mark got shot, Harrow decided to take his body and try to play with his head. I don't know. And after reviving Amit, I just assumed that's what was going on. But yeah, I don't really know. But I assume that the whole Egyptian mythology that's going on in Mark and Steven's world is the actual timeline, because it makes sense to me. Unless that this is a very big what if. All that happened was all Mark's dream. Everything that happened in the MCU was just Mark's dream.
What do you mean by dream?
Or Mark's reality, or that Mark made all this up. You know, the whole...
Wait, what gave you that idea?
I just thought it was a what if. Like, so everything that happened... You know, the Egyptian mythology, or, you know, all the Egyptian gods and goddesses and everything else in the MCU, this was all Mark just making it up. You know how they have those TikTok moments where after the what if, when what if was a big thing, where Tony wakes up in the cave? Those mm-hmm. moments, I just thought that maybe this is another what if.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, but... yeah, so after that scene, he Steven comes to the truth. Mom's dead. Looked at the phone, there was no one there. And then when he came to reality, of course, the scene that CB just explained, what'd you call the hat?
Yarmulke.
Yeah, the yarmulke hat, beating it up, and then they come into terms with each other. It's like, it's not your fault. Like, Mark, it's not your fault. And then it goes into back to the boat. It's like, I'm sorry, dudes, I was rooting for you, but the Duat's time to take you. The unbalanced dead people. Yeah, so Mark gets beat up by the three, and this is what he mentioned earlier. The three, Goban or Gollin, New York, and wherever, the three people that he mentioned the first time around in the dead room, they come try to take him, and we assume that the dead know that Mark is real and Steven is fake, hiding behind. I thought that the dead was like, okay, Mark is right there, Steven is hiding, we'll get him later. That's what I thought.
Yeah, but I don't think it matters. If they are grabbing him, I don't think it matters which one they grab first.
Right. Right.
Whether they're hiding or not, you know, like because even Steven didn't try to run away. Like, he stayed put in there and start just yelling at Mark.
Yeah. And this is where Steve finally put out some action, where he says, if you are Mark, then I can do it too. If he can do it, I can do it too, basically. So he picks up the bat and beats up the dead. And I was like, okay, Steven got backbone, until he fell. So he shows a little heroic after saving Mark from getting caught up with the Duat, until another one came out of nowhere. Steven goes and runs to save him, but at the moment of saving him, the Duat took him along with him off the boat. And then that's where Steven was lost and turned into dust, or stone dust, or sulfur. I don't know. And that very moment is when the balance became balance. I would assume Mark would have been what'd you call it, for all the murders he's done, he would put, like, the feather was too heavy or too light.
No, that's why I said that what he did was justified. Oh. Based on what the balance said.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. That's what you meant earlier. Okay. Yeah, so it balanced out. And he was taken to the field of reeds, where it looks like a meadow. And and that's where you have it.
That's where it ended. I forgot. But the whole scene, the whole episode is weird. It's just a total, complete, unexplainable. None of them make any sense. None of them still doesn't make any sense. Like, it makes sense as it is. If yeah. you, if, it makes sense as it is.
Yep.
Hold on. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose my thought. It's gone. Sorry.
It wasn't me this time. I got it.
No, because, I don't have it. I don't know what I was going to say.
Are you the one that's tired?
No, because I was going to say something and then you finished it. So it's like, what was I going to say? Because I'm trying to grab it and then it's just gone.
Oh, yeah. My bad. I you were just there and I was like, it. And then, okay, anyway. Yeah, if you don't put any reason behind the episode, it just makes sense as it is. I kind of like this episode. So, because it wasn't your usual episode. It was very unique of its own. And yeah, I watched this so many times just to remember what happened, to get a proper review of it. And again, I really admire Oscar Isaac's acting skill. He did a great job. I like it. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, that's it. So if you guys enjoyed this podcast, if you enjoyed this episode, or if you enjoyed the episode in Moon Knight, make sure to like and subscribe. Follow us on all of our social media account, the Maximum Filipino Show on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and all that good stuff. Make sure you comment down below. Let us know if you agree, if you don't agree with all of our what we said. If you think we said something wrong or it's just terrible things that we said about the show, make sure you comment down below. Tell your friends about us if you like Marvel shows and you want to be part of our future reviews. Make sure to email us, themaximumfilipinoshow@gmail.com. We'll see you guys later. Thank you so much for doing this. See ya. Bye.
Late.